Vas zanima, kako nastajajo tajni mednarodni trgovinski sporazumi, kot sta CETA in TTIP?
Možnost A. Elitna zabava na jahti sredi Karibskega otočja.
Ej, a ti kupiš 3/4 deleža v Monsantu, men pa prepustiš vpliv na onrodniku Romuniji?
Ja, hudo, vse se da zmenti. Jaz te peljem zraven še na Havaje, na koktejl reception, tam bo tudi Miki. On ima velik vpliv v Arizoni.
Možnost B. V kafkovskih birokratskih labirintih.
12. člen v poglavju 30 o administrativnih in institucionalnih določbah na strani 449 je v protislovju z določilom iz poglavja 51 o ISDS inštitutu. Že 4 ure se ukvarjam z njegovo uskladitvijo.
Naredili bomo isto, kot smo naredili za člen 6 v poglavju 14.
Ja, bom pogledal.
Do februarja se morava prebiti do strani 1400.
Možnost C.
Evropski parlament bo prihodnji teden odločal o ratifikaciji prostotrgovinskega sporazuma CETA med Evropsko unijo in Kanado, s čimer bo ta delno stopil začasno veljavo, dokler ga ne potrdijo še nacionalni parlamenti. Podporo začasni uveljavitvi sporazuma je podala tudi slovenska vlada, ki je do pred enim tednom izražala pomisleke. Podobno je bilo tudi za avstrijsko vlado, ki je sporazumu do nedavnega nasprotovala, prejšnji teden pa se je z njegovim sprejetjem strinjala. V tokratnem mnenju o sporazumu CETA poslušamo Aleksandro Štrikner iz avstrijske organizacije ATTAC, ki spregovori o obratu avstrijske vlade in pritiskih na tiste evropske vlade, ki ratifikacije sporazuma še niso odobrile, predvsem vladi belgijske province Valonije. Prisluhnimo.
Yeah, the last Friday, the Social Democratic Party of Austria met in the morning to discuss and decide their final position on CETA, and we all had hoped that that they would be ready to go and to say no to CETA, so that they cannot sign at this stage, given the fact that the declaration, the interpretative declaration that so far has been worked out, clearly, according to the analysis that many groups have done, didn't address at all the concerns that we in Austria, together with many other people and groups in Europe, have raised in terms of it doesn't do anything to mitigate the concerns in relation to investor-to-state dispute settlement. It doesn't do anything to address the fact that the precautionary principle is not inside the text. It doesn't do anything to address the concerns around public services, to just name a few. So we were surprised and also to some extent shocked, disappointed, according to what you want to name, that they finally decided to give their consent to CETA. Also because the resistance in Austria is among the biggest against CETA and TTIP in Europe. We have the Trade Union Confederation with the various branches of trade unions that are clearly speaking out against CETA and continue also after that decision to say that CETA cannot be signed and is not good. We have huge environmental organizations that came out, ATTAC as a movement and organization, my organization that is working on issues of globalization for years now, that clearly came out. We have more than 400 local communities that have signed a resolution. That is about 15%, and in these cities and communities there, of course, is a lot of the bigger cities and in Austria, so this number represents also a huge amount of people, and also the large parts of farmers in Austria, even though they are organized with the Conservative Party, but even them clearly have said CETA is not going to be good for them. And even in the area of businesses, a group has emerged that is called small and medium-sized enterprises against TTIP and CETA. So also having those groups coming out and saying, well, you say that CETA and also the other agreement that still is negotiated, TTIP, is good for us, but in reality it isn't when you look at what is in it. So in that sense, it was very surprising for us that they decided, and I think one can also to some extent analyze it in a context where you can see that a lot of pressure is put up on those governments which have shown criticism. So whenever a government comes out and say something that this is not good, what we could see in the last couple of weeks is that the Commission and all those who are very much interested to get CETA come along and start putting up a lot of pressure and try to force a yes. And I think to some extent that was also what was happening with the Social Democratic Chancellor in Austria. So he even said that himself in explaining his decision, that there were clearly also threats made that certain things would be taken away in terms of subsidies or certain institutions that are planned to EU institutions that are planned to be established in Austria, that they might rethink that. So in that sense, it's a mix of that, and we can see it now also with the Walloon government that is still holding strong and saying no to CETA, and they're applying everything. And Mr. Magnet, the president of the Walloon government, even openly said that it's not only pressure, it's partly direct threats that they're putting out in terms of not giving money, etc. So, we have been, of course, disappointed and sad about that decision, and that Austria has now signaled that it would sign. But in effect, today I'm just in Brussels now, and today was the meeting of the trade ministers. And again, the conclusion was that there is not an agreement yet by all member states. Belgium still cannot sign. And that means that one country can effectively block the ratification process, because in order to go on, or in order for the ratification process to go along, all member states have to sign the CETA treaty, because it's a mixed treaty.
Poslušali smo mnenje Aleksandre Štrikner iz avstrijske organizacije TAKO sporazumu CETA. Čez eno uro pa se v offsideu podrobneje posvečamo valonskemu in posledično belgijskemu ne CETI.
Radio študent.